Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run. Tin Brook's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun, to the bright shining sun, oh Lord, to the bright shining sun. Tin Brook's was a big bay horse, he rode that shaggy mane. He run all around Memphis, he beat the Memphis train. Beat the Memphis train, oh Lord, beat the Memphis train.
Oh, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny show. I think this is the first Brian and Vinny show of 2009, in fact. And what a way to kick off 2009 with what's going to be a shitty show.
And a typhoon.
I don't have it in me. We did a Wrestling Observer Radio on Saturday morning with Dave. I guess I should go back a little further on Friday night. We all went to dinner at Outback Steakhouse.
What a meal that was.
Which in and of itself was a fucking disaster of a day. But we went to Outback Steakhouse, and as I arrived, it was a long wait, and I was waiting for a table, and I was checking my email on the phone, and I saw a email from Dr. Keith with a link, and I clicked on it. And it was the Waxman documents, interviews, some drug testing results. Scanned through it. Thought, this will be interesting to write about this week. Be interesting to tackle some of these things right here. Then I went home, and later on that evening, I settled down, and I clicked on one of them, and it was the Vince McMahon interview. And I clicked on it, and it was a PDF of an interview with Vince McMahon, obviously, and it's approximately 163 pages long, if I recall correctly.
That's very long.
163 pages.
Did you read the entire thing?
So Dave called me, or emailed me, and he said, we should do an update on this tomorrow morning or afternoon. And I said, all right, well, I got a couple things I got to do in the morning, so we'll do it in the afternoon. I thought I would scan some of these things and be prepared for it. And obviously didn't scan all of them, but I looked through a few of them here and there and read some stuff on the board and on some other boards, some of the pertinent information, and then Dave called, and he mentioned that he had read everything the night before. So I thought, a little crazy. And he said, let's talk about this today. I never want to talk about it again. And I thought, come on now. You're going to be talking about this one for the rest of your life. You should enjoy this. This is a big story here. We got interviews. Vince McMahon, Linda, Dr. Black, Dixie fucking Carter, for Christ's sake. This is some good shit right here. So we did the show, and then I settled down to read everything all the way through. I'd read actually most of the Stephanie one the night before, but it was now time to sit down and read all of them. And long story short, it is now late Tuesday night. I think I have read 1,000 pages of interviews since Saturday. And for those of you that have kept up with the amount of reading I do about wrestling that is not Wrestling Observer newsletter related, books for example, you know it's not a lot. And I am sitting here right now at 11:21 p.m. I have just written an article to the best of my ability, which cannot even begin to do justice to 1,000 pages of testimony. But suffice to say, I don't ever, ever want to speak of this. I don't ever want to see a link to this again. I don't ever want to see a reference to this again. I don't ever want anything to do with this ever again as long as I fucking live.
Very good, very good.
I feel like I could die at any moment. I don't even know how I did the show. I don't even know why I'm doing the show right now.
Would you like to talk about something non-wrestling related momentarily?
No. We got to do this. We got to get this done.
You would rather move on and get it done as quickly as possible.
I got to get this done because the newsletter still has to be proofread tonight. It's probably not going up until tomorrow morning. Then we'll get the new Observer up tomorrow morning. Then we've got a Mick Foley show. I've got to do a Figure Four Daily at some point. So we'll get 3 Figure Four Dailies this week if I can handle it. We'll have a lot of Dave this week. Dave's going to be on the Foley show. Dave's going to be on the Lance Storm show. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, don't get me wrong, but I don't ever want to talk about this again. I have no desire to talk about this with Lance on Thursday. I don't know if Dave does either, although Lance has a lot he wants to say, so I'm sure it'll probably be another hour of it, but Yeah, everybody, don't read this stuff. Just don't read it. Read what Dave writes in The Observer. Read what I write.
Oh, that stuff.
Just don't. For your own good.
Don't read the original interviews.
Yes, there is some funny stuff in there. Those of you that hate TNA probably should read the Dixie Carter interview because it'll answer every question you've ever had about what a fucking train wreck TNA is. But don't bother reading all of them. Just for your own good. It's like the recommendation I would give. Don't watch Impact. We can rant about it here on the show, but you're paying us to rant about it. You don't have to watch it. Just don't. Don't read this stuff. Do something better with your lives. Watch Raw and watch SmackDown, both of which were good this week. So anyway, we're going to talk about those. I'm going to be in a crabby mood, and then we're going to wrap this show up after a couple of shout-outs here. Apologize to all the freeloaders that you get a shitty show, but hey, now's the time to sign up if I were you, because all the good stuff is coming up later on. It's all uphill from this program right here. So anyway, I suppose we should talk about these programs.
Which show would you like to talk about first?
I don't want to talk about anything, quite frankly, so you better start.
We'll start with
Notwithstanding, I'm already talking like Vince because I've read all this testimony by him. Don't read these things, everybody. Just take my word for it. Vince is completely insane. Stephanie is like, when Vince is dead, there's going to be trouble. But at least Stephanie's in charge and not Dixie, who knows less about the professional wrestling business than any one of you listening right now. Any one of you. You listening right now, you listening to my voice right now, you know about more about wrestling than Dixie Carter. I'm trying to think of anybody on the board. Who's like the dumbest person on the board?
Crumbly.
Oh my God. He is a wrestling booking genius compared to this woman. She knows nothing. She knows nothing. And worse, who is there to learn from? Vince Russo?
Jeff Jarrett, apparently.
She is surrounded by a bunch of people that are using her for her money and people that have a skewed vision of what professional wrestling is. That's Dixie Carter. She has no idea what she's doing. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm really not. So what are we going to talk about first?
I was about to suggest SmackDown.
Let's play a song instead.
Good thinking.
And then we'll talk about SmackDown. What's this one here? Something play, Christ. God
questions
damn it.
On the board, as always. This person wants to know, ask him what would have happened to Magnum TA if he had never gotten in the car wreck. Would he have been huge for a long period of time, huge for a little bit, and fizzled out? What do you think?
He would have been big. He'd have been big.
Not working.
I think I could see where it was going, but it took too long to get there.
I know where it was going, and it was a really long drop, so I couldn't handle all of that. Boy, what a start this show is off to. Is that right? I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just going to hit a button.
I can't let you be, because your beauty won't allow me.
All right. God damn it! Why am I doing the show today?
What a terrible drop that was. Finally found a way to make a random Kylie drop not funny.
A beach wave. Just kicking its flippers. Flipping its flop. Flipping its flop. Jesus Christ, what's happening here? He's an old fat guy who's abysmally clumsy. Old fat guy, shaking your head like D'Lo Brown, Dongs. Jack Evans thinks you're a faggot. The announcement, Vince, is Jack Evans thinks you're a fat ass. F to the A, Bible fade. What? F to the A, Bible fade. F to the A by a buffet?
That's what he said.
That would suck.
It would take a long time.
Vince is Fat and Gay is the name of that song.
That's nice. Thank you. Yes, that's very clever.
All right, this show is going to be over, everybody, in 33 minutes. So let's get crack-a-lackin' here. SmackDown, we had... Where in the fuck is my... There we go. All right, by the way, I'm stalling for time because I don't really want to talk about these shows. But today, I was a guest on Fight Network Radio on Hardcore Sports Radio, Mauro Ranallo's show. And before I came on, there was a guy. They had a recording that they played of a guy, a very angry guy, ranting and raving about how bad TNA was, and concluding with "fuck TNA." And I thought, who is this outraged man? It was me.
Yeah.
They had taken a random tirade off of the Brian and Vinny show, and it was the opening.
It was their bumper for
you. It was their bumper for me.
And you had to try to live up to that.
And I thought, Christ, I sound irrational here. I thought I might have been drinking or something like that. Do I sound like that all the time?
No, never.
Wow. That was an eye-opener right there. But I don't really care. So Vicky Guerrero came out. And she said she was going to announce some people for the Rumble.
Actually, she said, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah.
And then she said, 2008 was really great, but 2009 will be really fine. This is the best promo I ever saw.
Yip to you. So she came out and she said that tonight she was going to introduce some of the wrestlers competing in the Rumble. Out came Triple H. What are you laughing about?
The whole idea
of this ridiculousness.
She said Happy New Year, she booked the matches for the Rumble, and then she said, once again, Happy New Year, and the fans booed this.
Yeah.
The fans wanted a crummy year, apparently.
Apparently. So, he came out, and he wanted to know if he was going to be in the Rumble. She said, you're going to have to wait till later. I guess Triple H was concerned that he might not be in the Rumble. So, he proceeded to make fun of her, which resulted in her saying, fine, you're in the Rumble. Why? I do not know. This was a TNA moment. So, then she asked him to please leave. And he said, hold on a second. He began plugging her doll. He took off the doll's clothes to reveal it had the body of a supermodel. And then he revealed that he had gone on the internet looking for information. And he discovered that Vicky had some nude photos available on eBay. And the top bidder was one Chavo Guerrero. And she freaked out and ran away. Now, later, on WWE.com, they did, in fact, post the supposed nude photos of Vicky Guerrero. So, in storyline, these photos really did exist. Which means, in storyline, Triple H was so turned on by Vicky's doll that he legitimately searched the internet for Vicky Guerrero buck naked.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
This is a completely illogical goofball segment, but I enjoyed it. You can tear it apart for not making sense and all that stuff. And yes, the idea of naked Vicky Guerrero pictures is unpleasant. If you happen to see the pictures on WWE.com, you saw the largest black rectangles in history. But it was goofy fun.
Let me, better than a black box, let me give you all a little trivia note here. The Vicky Guerrero doll, that is in fact the real doll. It does in fact have a great body. Now, a friend of mine whose son has a number of wrestling dolls.
Hmm.
Perhaps I should not reveal this source, but suffice to say, upon seeing this segment, this man concluded that they had a prototype female doll that all of the divas used for their dolls, and they just used that same prototype body for Vicky. This resulted in an investigation, as all of the divas were stripped down, and as it turns out, that is incorrect. Vicky has the best body of all the divas.
Yes.
What? What kind of a rib is this?
Don't know.
I don't know. So then we had another announcement that Umang is returning. We had the Edge Geeks against Fit Finley and the Great Kali. Kali is in the dog, apparently.
Right.
And they let the Geeks get some heat on Finley, then...
That meant the Great Kali got to make a hot tag.
Kali made a hot tag and made a comeback and beat him up and won. And they are at least entertaining bumping for the dog.
The Edge Geeks are a fantastic heel squash team. I'm fine with them getting their asses kicked every week. It's great fun. And then the babyface team, they won. They celebrated. They danced with children. They danced a jig. And I had the best idea I've ever had in my life. Fit Finley and the Great Kali need to be a regular tag team. And we need Fit Philly teaching the Great Kali how to dance. How to do river dance and jigs.
Why not?
This is buys. Literally buys. I would pay to see that.
Eve interviewed Michelle and said she should apologize to Maria for beating her up. And Michelle told her to fuck off. Actually, she told her to do what you do best. Hold the mic. And I thought, I hope Eve does things better than that. sadly, this apparently is going to lead to a match, which is not spies, in fact. We had the Edge freaking out about the eBay deal, and Show said he'd seen him, and Vicky stormed out, and Edge said that they talked about embarrassment, and Edge made fun of him for being knocked out by Mayweather, and then told him to win the Rumble, and then maybe the two of them could fight for the title at Mania. Not happening. But a tease.
Edge was awesome here, freaking out over these pictures, as he explained, naked pictures of my wife on eBay. He then clenched both fists and pumped them twice and screamed, on eBay!
Yes.
He was great.
Kendrick and Zeke against Jesse and Festus. Zeke got a blind tag, hit Jesse with a uranage for the pin after Jesse nearly killed young Brian Kendrick with a high-angle German suplex. And finish was wacky as Kendrick was in the middle of the ring dead, a third man in the ring, and the ref still counted the pin, but who fucking cares? It was fine.
They got the heat on Festus in this match. Man. Seriously.
Well, what the hell?
It did not work.
We had a Rumble commercial. For those of you that can't figure out what the fuck I was talking about on the board, I shouldn't even tell you right now. I should curse you by always wondering what I was talking about. Watch the Royal Rumble commercial where they have footage of I guess, Royal Rumble moments from years past, and there's a photo, or there's a quick black and white shot of The Undertaker, who has a body like Batista and abs like John Morrison. That is what I'm getting at, for fuck's sake. Anyway, we had Ross in the ring to...
you skipped an entire match.
Oh, Kozlov beat Hurricane. I have no idea why.
Because apparently they lost all faith in him after his comeback.
Why?
I don't know.
He had the best match Shelton's had in a long time.
I agree.
And they punished him by squashing him.
I guess they don't like his new gear. Also, Taz talked about Alexander Carolyn during this match.
He did. I want to talk about that because that really pissed me off. He said that he believed that Kozlov actually had one up on Alexander Carolyn. Now, those of you who have no idea who Alexander Carolyn is, there's no point in saying this because nobody has any idea what he's talking about. And number two, anybody that does know who Alexander Carolyn is knows that even if you think that pro wrestling is real, there's no way this guy is one up on Alexander Carolyn.
No.
He's been undefeated for 6 months.
Yeah.
This was so dumb. Just make up a name. Why do you have to use a real name that is so completely bullshit? So then we had
Ross in the ring,
Hunter, Big Show, Kozlov, Shelton. He announced him for the Rumble, and then Shelton came out and tried to claim that his long-term ultimate goal was headlining WrestleMania and winning the title, which hopefully is a very long-term goal.
Perhaps by 2041.
Needs longer time than that. Anyway, that's what he said, and then Undertaker came out and made sure everybody knew that Shelton was not, in fact, headlining WrestleMania this year.
My most notable thing Shelton said here was when he declared himself to be the six-month reigning U.S. champion. All I can think was, what a wasted 6 months that has been. What a forgettable reign.
I still can't get over that Carolyn line. People are probably listening to this right now going, Brian is making way too big a deal out of this. But I'm really not. I'll give you an example.
The very, 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 very vast majority of fans watching this show had no idea who Alexander Carolyn was, so...
Well, no, here's an analogy here. Who is a poor football writer?
Peter King.
All right. Let's say that on the VinnyVSportsReport.com, you decided to announce that Peter King?
Yeah.
Peter King had one up on Dave Meltzer.
Okay.
Now, there's no point in saying that because almost nobody's going to know who Dave Meltzer is. So why would you use that name?
You've repeated the point.
Now for the people that do know who Dave Meltzer is, it's still fucking stupid to say it. It's stupid either way.
Right.
Why did the teacher say this at least?
You're repeating information.
I wanted to repeat the information for the stupidest listeners who are still better bookers than Dixie Carter. Know more about the wrestling business. So, what do we have next? Oh, Michelle
Cool cut a promo.
She apologized to Marie, who was not there because she's dead. I shouldn't even say that. That's a horrible line because Stephanie used the same line in reference to Chris Benoit. That's why he did not show up at the ECW pay-per-view, because he was dead, she explained. So, yeah.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, she called out Eve, And she said, I want to apologize. They hugged. They shook hands. She beat the piss out of her. Eve can't sell a lick. This will be a horrible match. Hopefully, Shelton headlines WrestleMania before we see this battle. And it at least was shorter than the Maria beating last week.
It was still way too long, though. That's Michelle's new gimmick. She beats people up for far longer than she needs to. A horrible gimmick, by the way.
Hunter met with Chavo and Vicky. She wanted an apology for the nude pictures. He refused to give it. So after being a cock all night long, she finally goes, fine, next week, triple jeopardy. Tables, handicap match, ladder match. You're in all three, fucker. And this made him mad.
Right.
He was wronged, apparently.
How dare she, you know, not let him do whatever he wants.
Then we had MVP against Kazarni.
Oh, God.
The people cheered for Kazarni initially. This ended quickly. He's not very good.
No.
And he got significantly worse as the match went on. And the people loved MVP more and more
yes.
as the match went on. And then finally MVP was pinned with a move that looked botched.
Right.
You know, when MVP, if the idea here is, as they have told him, that in the end he will become a babyface, this will not be hard. Just keep booking him with Kazarni. In fact, just keep booking him. People feel so bad for the guy, they want him to succeed. So then Kennedy came out and buried MVP, plugged his DVD, and whoop-de-hee-ha.
This was a failure in every way. I mean, as you noted, Kazarni was not very good. This was mostly boring. When it was not boring, that usually meant it was sloppy. The fans were cheering for MVP, but more to the point, MVP is the guy who's on the longest losing streak, and he kicked Kazarni's ass for most of this.
Yeah.
And then Kazarni got a fluke win with, as you noted, an ugly move. So yes, nothing about this was any good.
Edge did a promo. Actually, this was a hell of a promo. He said he was going to be the champion for the seventh time at the Rumble. He said that last year people accused him of taking advantage of an innocent widow. Here was a year later. They were still married, still in love. He said everyone accused him of taking out Jeff at the Survivor Series, but the reality was Jeff was a screw-up, a fool. And he said when this terrible period was over, the reign of Jeff Hardy, then the people could blame him because he was going to be responsible for ending that horrible period. This was quite great.
I like the fan who had the sign that read, and I quote, beat Edge up, make him cry.
That led to the main event, Hardy's against Edge and Big Show. And Edge was in the ring, I guess, doing some stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm just getting to the point here.
No,
Why waste time?
I'm not. Go ahead.
Show just left.
Right.
There was not a spot.
No.
There was not a slapping match like the tribute to the troops.
No, it was a completely random point. Big Show got bored and returned to the back.
Seen enough, he left. Wasn't even like Edge was about to make a hot tag or Edge was in trouble.
No.
Just, I'm done.
There was no cue to this. Big Show just left.
So he went away and Edge was double teamed by the baby faces.
He took every move the Hardys do.
Another impact moment here. And then he got pinned with the Twist of Fate and the Senton by Jeff Hardy. And things not looking good for Jeff leading into the Royal Rumble.
Usually when the champion...
I do not know why.
Looks this strong, it turns out badly for him.
Except that they're fools.
Perhaps they want him to lose the belt so he can challenge for it at Mania.
Well, that's not what's going to happen.
I'm just throwing ideas out there.
So anyway, that was the show. It was a fun main event. Show was a thumbs up. I enjoyed it. And now we are going to play a song because we have no time to lose. There's only 19 minutes left on this show right here, and we still have Raw and shout-outs. So let's go. Is this really a waltz?
No.
Baby butt wipes! DVD! Baby butt wipes! DVD! If you ain't got a DVD, crack whip with
pork and beans.
If you ain't got a DVD, crack whip
with pork and beans.
Crack.
Hey! Hey!
Yeah!
Hey!
Some conversation.
Too loud.
Too great. Fucking great song that is.
Too loud.
Here comes Alex. D. Teeter Hosen.
Quiet down, you.
Mm.
portrait hiding.
Can we get to the fucking point here? Jesus Christ.
What a show this has been.
6 seconds. This can't be bad.
Hello?
I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
This is Ian.
Perfect! Fine work.
Does Ian still call you?
He hasn't called for a while.
That's a pity.
He gets fixated on things, and then he starts calling repeatedly.
Is it usually about Rick Steiner?
Yeah. Raw had Jericho and Orton in the ring, and Jericho explaining that a fatal four-way was every man for himself, and last week Shawn and JBL were clearly working in collusion, and therefore this was not fair, and they were filing a complaint. They wanted JBL removed from the title match, which I fully agree with. And anyway, JBL came out, and Shawn, who also came out of the limo. People still chanted HBK. He is still beloved. And JBL told them to try losing with a little dignity. They got in a big argument back and forth. Jericho told Shawn that he was right all this all along when he called Shawn a phony. And anyway, ended up with Stephanie coming out. And her entire body was shown this week, which I'm sure that various websites on the internet whole articles are likely being written about this at this point, but it was just a quick fact. Anyway, she came out and announced that, no, this decision was going to stand. Shawn had not laid down for JBL, and she announced that, what'd she say?
She booked She wanted to test Shawn's integrity again, so she's booking Shawn and Cena versus Jericho and Orton for the main event of the show.
That's right. She also announced that Orton and Jericho were in the Rumble.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, the other key point here was Jericho and Orton demanded that Shawn be kept out of the Rumble, and before Steph could answer, JBL said, I am fine with that.
Yeah,
he will not be in the Rumble match. He will be in my corner helping me beat John Cena.
Which means that it only makes sense that next week in the Shawn versus Cena match, that JBL helps Shawn Michaels win. Because it's the only thing that would make sense there to build up the stipulation of Shawn being in JBL's corner for the Cena match. We had Gold Dust and Melina against Santino and Beth, seriously. And Melina ended up pinning Beth, I guess, with a
roll-up?
No.
No?
I must talk more about this.
All right.
Remember back in the day when Ken Riley, who ended my career, by the way, I must avenge that before I fully retire, but at this point, he has ended my career. Anyway, he used to make those covers where no part of his body was touching.
Yes.
Melina had to do this big, fancy-ass bridge on this pin, which resulted in literally no weight whatsoever being on Beth.
Oops.
And Beth somehow could not kick out. This was stupid. So, anyway, afterwards, Rosa Mendez came out and went after Melina. Security dragged her away, and Rosa apparently is just part of the show. They know her name. They know what she's doing. We're supposed to be familiar with this fan. Wacky.
Yeah, this all made a much greater impression on you than it did on me. It was exactly what you expect. Rosa came out. It bored me.
Punk did a promo and had a little friendly conversation with Todd about winning the IC title and being listed alongside guys like Brett and Mr. Perfect, who, by the way, everybody, were champions in the early 90s. Thank you. It is now 2009, and the belt has been held by such luminaries as Santino. We had the...
My favorite part of this, by the way, was Punk had his promo. It was good. And then Todd takes the mic back and says, thanks for stopping by, and good luck tonight.
After all the weeks spent building this up, including a fucking tournament.
Yes!
A tournament! Punk, within about 3 minutes, had Regal up in the FU. Regal grabbed the ref's shirt, was DQ'd.
Right. All that work for this.
So then Steph came out, and I mentioned this on the Dave show. She may actually be worse than Mike Adamley, because she came out here a couple of weeks ago. She was explaining the whole concept of this fatal four-way road to the title type deal, And she just vaguely announced all the champions on Raw are going to be in some matches and the winners are going to do this other match. And I sat there thinking, who are the men? How can you not announce the fucking men involved? So this time she comes out after the match and she said, hold on a minute. I cannot allow the first title match of 2009 to end like this. Regal, you are going to defend this title again, and if you get DQ'd, you will lose the belt. Then they played Punk's music.
And then we never saw them again.
She did, in fact, allow the first title match of 2009 to end exactly as she said she would not.
Yes.
She sucks at her job.
Yes. Yes, she does. Yeah, and all that work, all that talk about, all the promos, the great promos Regal cut about wanting to bring prestige back to the Intercontinental title. No, he's just another cowardly heel. Failure!
Then we had, by the way, that's next week. Apparently they announced later. I liked on the board, everybody had to yell at me because I missed the announcement that this was going to be next week.
No, you didn't. When was it? I thought they missed announcing it.
No, apparently they announced it. So you missed it as well.
I missed it as well.
And Dave missed it. But of course, nobody yelled at Dave for missing it. Only me. So, anyway, unless they're all lying, which is possible, we had JBL meeting with HBK, and he's trying to set up himself as the champion going into WrestleMania. This seemed like quite the tease. I guess we shall see.
He outright told Sean to screw John Cena tonight, and I thought to myself, boy, I hope Cena's not watching, but then a few segments later, it actually made sense.
Yeah. Orton met with Cody and Sim Snuka. Said they passed phase one last week. Tonight, they needed to win again, and if they won, they were in, plain and simple. Manu walked up, won another chance. Said Orton lost last week as well. Orton told him to fuck off. Said he never wanted to see him again. And then they all bailed.
And Manu was shunned.
Shunned. Ms. Morrison did a promo about how great they were, and then they showed how great they were in a match with Ray Jr. and Kofi, which was awesome.
Right in between that promo, there's about four non-wrestling segments in a row, and I thought, welcome to TNA. And then there was Mickie James standing backstage in this outfit, and I did not care about comparing this to TNA anymore. This was awesome.
Ray hit the 619. Morrison went for the springboard, Ray went for the springboard, and Miz distracted him, and then when he went for it, Morrison kicked him in the gut for the pin. And, yes, the clean pin, basically. So, somebody loves these men. They are pushed on every single show.
Yes.
They beat everybody clean.
Right.
We did, in fact, do a prediction show, and a number of people predicted that Morrison would be the World or WWE Champion before the end of the year.
Entirely possible.
Not a bad prediction.
No, entirely possible.
And then Mike Knox ran out and beat up Ray. That feud must continue. Why? I don't know.
But yes, Miz and Morrison, I think you can make a case, they are the biggest stars in this company, simply because they're on every show.
They are the most pushed act in the entire company at this point, I think without question. Cena did the thing with Sean and wanted to know if we were going to get the real HBK or JBL's puppet, and Sean said he was nobody's puppet. But he did not know what Cena should expect from him.
Cena said, am I fighting two guys or three? So basically saying, are you going to actually deliberately fuck with me or at least just stay out of my way and let me fight two guys by myself? So he had no expectation of Sean being a decent partner. And then Sean said, what does history tell you about himself as a partner? I thought, well, the last time these two men teamed, Sean kicked him in the head.
Yeah.
So that's what Cena should have expected then.
Kelly and Jillian had a horrible match with a wacky finisher, the Kelly Vader. The Kellevator?
Is that what they called it?
I made that up. All I know is she stepped on her back, leaped in the air, and came down with a leg drop.
This is something you would see in a really bad video game. And here they are doing it in what is allegedly a real athletic event. This
may
be dumber than the Canadian Destroyer.
Very bad. Then Kane came out and announced that next week he was going to kill Randy Orton for fucking Kelly.
And I thought to myself, why should I care?
I was trying to figure out who's supposed to be the babyface.
That's a good question, too. Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Should I want to see Orton killed, or should I want to see Orton escape? I don't know.
I hereby predict that Orton will be cheered huge in that match next week.
I think it's safe to say.
Crime Time, Sim Snuka and Cody Rhodes. The story here was that Rhodes got the pin with the roll of the dice, which is apparently their new finisher, and then after commercial, they met with Orton, and he simply said, Snuka, you're out! And Snuka was like, what? We won! And he said, no, Cody won. And Snuka said, well, it's a tag match. Only one man can get the pin. And Orton said, yes, it was not you. You're the weak link. That part's true. So Snuka,
that's undoubtedly true.
Out.
If he needed a match with Crime Time to prove that Sim Snuka was the weak link here, then he's just not been paying attention. But yes, apparently now it's just Orton and Cody.
Quite a heel group here, Legacy. Clearly there is more to come.
I'm assuming there will be something. But yeah, so far they pretty much suck.
I could just pray for the Horseman beatdown with Orton and Randy against Manu and Sim Snuka, and they all beat the shit out of Snuka, but I have no idea why we should care, so I don't think they're going to do that.
It would have to be a six-man, where it would be Sim Snuka, it would be Orton, Cody, and another heel against Snuka, Manu, and a fur babyface, and then it turns into a 5-on-1.
No, that's not happening either. Snuka's out, at least. So then Steph had a meeting with Santino and Beth about Rosa, said she could never be in the crowd again. And then Jericho walked in and wanted to know what Steph had met with JBL about. And she said, don't worry about it. It certainly didn't have to do with money. And he said, since she hadn't done anything about his complaint, he'd gone over her head to Vince. And she said, well, my father has been out of commission since his accident. And Jericho revealed that, no, in fact, he would be back in 2 weeks. Why Stephanie did not know this? Who knows? Huge storyline faux pas.
I completely believe that the character Vince would not tell the character Stephanie he was coming back.
And he told the character Jericho?
Sure.
Explain this one.
Well, Jericho filed a protest to Vince, and Vince said, I will be back there in 2 weeks. And Jericho said, okay.
He said, in talking to the office.
So, okay, Vince sent word through his people to Jericho, I will be at Raw in 2 weeks.
No. Jericho talked to the office.
Okay.
And they alerted him that Vince was back in 2 weeks.
Right.
The office knows, and not his daughter, who's the GM of Raw?
Sure.
No!
The office is the entire
WWE
company.
How can you bury TNA and then defend this one? This is completely nonsensical. I have to be fair here. Unlike, for example, Crumbly. I am a fair man. This makes no sense.
I think it's entirely possible that the
what a family you must have.
Well, we have seen...
real family man. I understand how this thing works.
My family's not wrestling each other in no-holds-barred pay-per-view matches.
We communicate.
So, yeah. Well, my family does not communicate. That's true. But, moreover, given this, the way this family is portrayed, and the way this company really is actually run, I think it's entirely plausible that a person whose job it would be to run Monday Night Raw and only Monday Night Raw may, in fact, not be told key facts from the head office, such as, Vince McMahon will be on your show in 2 weeks.
I find it impossible that the main office would not alert the daughter that her father, who they thought had been killed, was still alive and coming back.
I find it plausible.
She hasn't even got an update on her father this entire time?
Do you think she's called? She doesn't care.
Sure she does. Money!
No, power. She wants power, and she has power as long as Vince is out.
No, but if Vince dies, she has a fortune coming. She would want an update every day. Is he dead yet?
No. She's fine with him being in the coma.
No. You are incorrect here.
I am right.
No. You are being a TNA, you're being a WWE defender.
That's
when you
impossible.
Should not be. We had the Cena and Shawn against Jericho and Orton match, which was a great little match. People screaming as Cena was attempting to get the hot tag. And long story short, it broke down into a four-way. Shawn super-kicked Orton, second week in a row, by the way, super-kicked Jericho, then he turned around and John Cena was right there. Was he going to kill him? No, they were past the time limit, so he just quickly pinned Jericho and got the win. And so, he did not turn on Cena, as JBL had expected, and so JBL said that next week, to make sure Shawn maintained that integrity, he was going to be in his corner for the match with Cena.
This is where he announced that Steph had booked Shawn and Cena in a singles match for next week, which is why he was not disappointed that Shawn had not kicked Cena in the head tonight.
Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler ever.
Sure.
Can I throw that in here right now? Shawn Michaels, when he's involved in any storyline, makes it great. This storyline is so fucking dumb. The premise is so dumb.
Right.
But he has made this great.
Right.
He made this main event great. He made you care about what happened. He made you intrigued about the finish. Think about the Fatal 4-Way last week. Did you care for 1 second who won that thing?
That JBL ended up winning? No, not really.
You were just waiting to see what might happen here. Here, it was like, Jesus, what's going to happen? Is Shawn going to super kick this fucker? What the hell is going to go on here? This storyline, people now care deeply about it because of Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, they've cared almost since day one because of Shawn Michaels. And you know that he can take something stupid and make it great. Here's a little stupid detail. Remember about 6 months ago when Shawn had to retire because of his eye injury and then his wife got punched?
Yeah.
That healed him, apparently.
Yeah.
He came back for one more match and then just kept wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, when he's gone, it's not like there's a whole bunch of guys Shawn Michaels in the making for
Hell
when he
no.
goes away. No, he is one of a kind. And when he's gone, it's going to be a sad, sad day. Just like when Flair left.
It was sad when he left the first time. And then he came back, it was like a miracle.
What the hell are we going to do without those two guys?
I'm going to turn to drugs, I've decided.
Right, let's play a quick song here, and then we'll do the shout outs. Wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, the great Kali. Drug in there somewhere. Everybody listening to this for free right now, just sign up. Go to figure4online.com. Why miss out? I do the plug every week. If you sign up, you get a free shout out. We're going to read those right now. I don't have it in me to do the plug. I just don't have the passion right now. But I should tell you that you should sign up because it's great.
It's great.
You're missing out on Mick Foley tomorrow, for Christ's sake. Mick Foley is going to be on the show.
Thousands of people sign up and none of them ever quit.
No, never.
Literally none.
Never quit. All right. The following shout has been paid for by the Anchor World Order. It's been a year since it was played, so please play the original AWO theme song. What a human being.
What are you doing?
I don't even know if I have it.
You seem to be scrolling through stuff.
What's this?
Stop it.
Apparently this is the back-asswards version.
Who would take the time to do this?
Is that the Great Khali? Or Iron Sheik? Did you notice the ding in there?
I didn't notice the ding. There it is again. It sounds the same, by the way, backwards and forwards.
Yeah, someone took the time to do this, everybody. Anchor, that's the best you're getting.
God, that was a fail.
It's the only one I had. Brian and Vinny, vote Anchor for King of the Board. At least vote for me against that idiot Mike Coughlin, the host of No Star Radio. Get it? Not five stars, no stars. Anyway.
Please tell me he actually explained it like that.
No,
in
email. I
know. Damn it.
Because you see, he doesn't get any big stars of MMA on his show, unlike his superior Tough Talk. I'm going to the TNA house show in a couple of weeks.
Why?
If TNA is as bad as B&V think, this show may frustrate me. Anchor's an amazing man.
Oh, God. And you know what? It's a house show. It'll probably be okay.
I may be uncomfortable sitting amongst TNA fans marking out for stuff that really isn't that awesome. TNA video game fucking sucks, by the way. UFC 95 card sucks. I sadly paid for tickets, but going to the steakhouse that Oliver Kopp has raised about should make it a great weekend. I will be calling in soon. Thanks, Anchor.
Good to know.
Anchor always, it's very important that we get the updates from Anchor. It's very important that we know what's going on in his life. So Anchor, I encourage you to keep paying for shoutouts. It's from The Dan. Not Dan on our board. The Dan. I joined the campfire a few months ago. I decided to send my first shoutout after some archive shows kept me immediate family sane in traffic on the Garden State Parkway.
Wow, a whole family you kept sane.
F4W Audio has become a joyfully addictive part of my daily routine. Brian and Vinny have a comedic rhythm that rivals any of history's greatest broadcast teams. Wow.
I have rhythm?
There are a few more things more enjoyable than Brian having an aneurysm about something ridiculous while Vinny tries to, in vain, to inject a rational argument. That's never happened, by the way.
When I'm the voice of reason in anything, bad times.
Shout-outs to my dad, my brother, and new subscriber, Stev.
Steve?
Stev.
Steve.
S-T-E-V.
Stev.
Chick-fil-A. Rock Band, Japanese Logic Puzzles, Wall-E, Craig Ferguson, House, Chris Jericho, Radiohead, Neil Gaiman, Lolcats, Dr. Keith, The Y Drop, Age of the Fall, Steen Errico, and a president I can believe in. Sorry, Granny. F used to hate, thesis writing, and the Garden State Parkway. You guys are 17 million buys. Merry Christmas, The Dan.
I haven't checked our subscriber numbers. Are we actually 17 million buys?
I don't know. Not quite that many.
If we are, I may ask for a raise.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we are, this is the last show. I'm going to just cash in and get the fuck out. It's from Darren Wadsworth. Dazza. This is Darren from Barnsley, England, UK, cashing in my shout-out. My big reason for signing up was the Brian and Vinny show. Just a quick question. By the way, for those of you that have not signed up yet, we do the show 3 times a week. You only get to hear it once every other week because you're a cheap freeloader.
You fool.
So sign up. Anyway, have either of you ever had the misfortune to see Big Daddy wrestle? No, but I saw Loch Ness.
That was the same guy, right?
No.
Oh.
The worst wrestler ever and a complete torture to me. That he was the most well-known wrestler in the UK. Shout out to the people I work with at the bookshop. Cheers, Darren.
Who was Loch Ness? Was that Giant Haystacks?
Yes.
I see.
I believe so. All these, you know how it is.
I've heard poor things about these two men.
Then we had L. O'Brien and friend of Brian. I won't waste words on my free shout out. I recently signed up for 3 months. But until that point, I'd been the biggest freeloader that ever freeloaded for 3 years. Eventually, I just couldn't live off the meager amount of free audio anymore and signed up. I've not regretted this decision. I would just like to say that you and what's-his-name are either the boldest or most insane pair that I ever met, forcing yourself week after week to watch the dreck that is TNA. Dreck, maybe Stev? I don't know. Even I, someone who hates few things, cannot stand this awful abortion of a wrestling program. I pray that one day the Impact Zone will be struck by a giant meteor and
awesome.
Rid us of the show forever. That's horrible.
I may light myself a fire and jump from a plane onto the Impact Zone. So if you see a meteor, it may be me.
Till then, I shall pray for your sanity. Greatest gimmick ever, a human calendar. I don't know.
Did you come up with this at some point?
That's what it says right here.
I have no recollection of that at all.
Brandon C., a.k.a. Gurasola. Maybe that was something I said when I was drunk on the Christmas show, which is, in fact, still available in the archives for subscribers, as is every show we've done since, God, what was it, October?
Almost 4 years now.
October of 2005, I believe. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Jesus, almost 4 years worth of shows are archived, everybody.
Yeah.
So get downloading. You better sign up fast if you're going to listen to them all, because they just keep coming.
The Christmas show, by the way, unanimously approved.
Yes.
Everyone loved it.
Every single person.
Right.
Every single person. So, anyway, that's it from here, everybody. I got to wrap it up. I gotta continue doing what I need to do. And we shall be back tomorrow with Mick Foley. And that's it. That's the plan, everybody.
Right.
So
hopefully the windstorm that has already blown your mailboxes down will leave your house standing.
That was not the wind. That was hooligans. It's happened before.
I see.
A windstorm.
There's a windstorm going on right now.
For those of you that have not seen our mailboxes, I would guess that they weigh upwards of several hundred pounds, and they were bolted and inserted into the ground using concrete. And Vince thinks the 25-mile-an-hour winds might have knocked it over. That is, in fact, incorrect. A fucking meteor could hit those mailboxes, and they would not have fallen over.
Well, then how did some children knock it over?
A bunch of them got together and pushed on it. I guarantee they could push
right.
on it harder than 25 mile per hour winds.
We're having a windstorm. It was actually blowing my car around the freeway, and I parked and I saw your mailboxes down, and I put 2 and 2 together and got 5.
If you, this was yesterday, by the way, if you were standing out in the middle of the road right there, would the winds blow you over?
Maybe.
Doubtful.
If I held my coat open to catch them?
Is there a parachute attached to the
no,
mailbox
fat.
That I missed?
I don't think so.
We're out of here, everybody.
Bye.